All right, sync for Jeff.
Jeff, what good does it do if we say it after the fact?
Because we're writing it down.
Somebody's writing it down.
You're also writing it down.
All right.
I'm writing it down. Me too.
Yeah, I got 156 and 201.
Oh, shit.
What do you mean, oh, shit?
I fucked up. Hang on.
What do you mean, oh, shit?
No, we're good. Okay. Hey everyone, welcome to Crime Pop. This is the podcast where we talk about fictional crime as if it were real. Today, I'm joined with Trevor Lister.
Hi there.
And Jeff Weirich.
Aloha.
Thanks for joining us today. I believe it is Trevor's turn to enlighten us with a piece of media that also has to do with crime. So, Trevor, you want to take it away?
Most certainly. So, wait, why did I even choose this?
Trevor.
I landed on the 2017 version of Baywatch.
Cool.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, you might call it that. I don't know. I thought it was absolutely perfect because when I typed in looking for a summary of Baywatch, the first line was, "When a dangerous crime wave hits the beach," and then it continues. That's all I need. It's a wave of crime. There we go. No, so have you guys both seen this movie, or has no one seen it?
I have not.
I have not.
Ah, you guys are missing out. This is a delight. It's a real delight, real treat. You have, I don't know, lots of actors, but the only two that I can remember are Zac Efron and Dwayne Johnson.
None of the girls, though.
No, I don't remember the girls' names. Like, they're all really famous, though. And I know what Pamela Anderson from the old one. That's all I got. Right.
Is she also in the new one?
Yeah. If I remember, she makes a cameo. For anybody that doesn't know, Baywatch is the movie with the lifeguards that run down the beach in super slow motion. Like that's it. And I don't know anything about the older movie, but in this one, Zac Efron, what's his name? Matt Brody is the character he plays. Matt Brody has been offered a position on this lifeguard squad because he qualified for the Olympics. Like, he's an Olympic swimmer.
Wow.
And yeah, no, it sounds like he's hot shit and everything, but when he gets there, Dwayne Johnson and everybody else is like, yeah, whatever, sure, kid. Like, they are constantly referencing that, like, being a lifeguard on this beach especially is so much harder than being an Olympic swimmer. That's what they reference all the time. And so that thought never crossing my mind, I sit here think, like, I don't know, he's a really good swimmer, so, like, what else do you need? But what do you guys think, like, just from that statement? Like, do you think that being an Olympic swimmer can qualify you to be a lifeguard? Like, just based on skills?
From trying to pass the lifeguard certification and not being able to, I definitely think you can. It's a hard test, but I feel like anyone who swims every single day would easily pass it. So,
yeah, the only real difference would he needs like CPR training, and then yeah, I think he should probably be good.
CPR training is like the easiest thing to pass ever, though.
Right. Okay, yeah, just curious. I never applied for lifeguard training, but I don't know. So that's kind of the tension in the group. In the beginning, so Dwayne Johnson is always making fun of Matt Brody. Wait, what's Dwayne's character? It's Mitch. They call him Mitch. So Mitch is always making fun of Matt Brody. When Matt Brody comes to the beach for the first time, there's actually a competition for recruits for the lifeguard squad. Yeah, they go through this whole thing, and then we end up with the main characters for this story. That's all you guys really need to know. And you gotcha. Got let's see, two girls, that are getting recruited, I think. No, three people. In total, I think there are three girls, three guys on this whole group. As this group tension is occurring, in the background, we start seeing this woman, who, like this rich woman that is trying to take over all the real estate on the beach, you know, like Lex Luthor style, like all into real estate crime. So she's trying to buy up everything. So she is bribing councilmen. She is like buying up from all these poor fishermen that own houses along the beachfront, because she wants a monopoly on everything so that she can start smuggling in drugs. That's like, that's the whole thing. When one council member doesn't really want to play ball, like he's a super honest guy, she ends up having him murdered. So she sends her goons to kill him while he's out on his party boat with these two women that are just, they're on the drugs, so they have no idea what's happening. Like, it's super strong on the stuff. Drugs. The drugs. I forget what they call it. I don't know. They have their own special name. But so these women that are just like blitzed out of their minds are on a boat with a dead councilman, and like it's on fire. So this is the situation, and this is like the first like serious time where like Matt Brody has to try to really prove himself. Like there was other stuff, but like this is the really serious time. He goes in and he's super cocky, and of course like he well, he doesn't do such a good job, because apparently Olympic swimmers can't be lifeguards on this beach, not without the training.
Is this beach like riddled with obstacle courses or something?
Yeah, it is actually. No, but right now they're out in the middle of the ocean. Like they got a call and they went to go check on it. Anyway, so this woman, Leeds is her name. She's like leaving a trail behind that Super Sleuth Mitch is like on the case about. Like the local law enforcement, they are already in her pocket, so they don't want to investigate anything at all. But Mitch is like, all right, we have to keep this beach safe. You know, like he's just like absolutely focused on it. Sure. So they find these drugs, and later there's an autopsy performed on this councilman, but the results were forged, right? So she paid, like Leeds paid a doctor to say that it was like a heart attack or something. Or no. I'm getting some stuff mixed up, because no, the body they find was like shark bites. Yeah, maybe that was something different. Anyway, he died in a way that was not the way that showed up on the autopsy report.
This plot is already way more complex than I would have ever expected.
No, it's actually kind of crazy. Actually, okay, so I'm going to write this down, and I want you guys to try to remind me toward the end, because it's not relevant now, but it's my favorite part of the movie. So Mitch and the crew, they start following this trail. And the whole time, there's always this tension of Matt Brody like not being good enough for the team, because like he doesn't have the lifeguard training. He's always trying to like be super cocky and prove himself, but he always ends up like tripping over and like fucking everything up. Like he messes up like a lot. Like he needs to get rescued on this boat. And then when they go to check out the autopsy room, things like get messed up again. He messes things up at a party. So he's just like constantly messing up, and him trying to prove himself just isn't working out. When they go to check out this body, Leeds has sent her goons to destroy evidence. And luckily, while the crew is there, it's like everybody snuck in, and they're investigating against the police's orders. And they got there in just the nick of time, because like I was saying, evidence is being destroyed, and they actually catch this on film. I think in the dumbest way possible, they get caught. Like they hopped in with the bodies that were in the other containers, and I think somebody farted or something like this. Yeah, it gets real dumb.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah, and that's what gave away their position.
This is a comedy, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah, it's a dumb comedy. And maybe I'm actually wrong about that. Maybe it was a ringtone. I think it might have been a ringtone. I haven't seen this movie in a bit.
But that sounds less dumb, I'll be honest.
Yeah, so in our minds, let's just... They get caught. Right. And you can imagine it's a fart if you want. If you will. It might as well be. So there's like a huge chase scene. You know, The Rock being The Rock. Like he goes and fights the big guy. And there's like they destroy everything. But the phone that had all the evidence on it gets destroyed. So now they have nothing. Just like when we talked, you know, a couple weeks back about the stalker.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. Like if you don't have evidence, it's really difficult. Like I don't want to compare like these situations, but just like in general, if you don't have evidence, the police are pretty useless. And that's just kind of a fact. That's not even me like trying to take a stab at the police, but like without evidence, they can't really do anything, right?
Right.
Right. I would agree with that 100%.
Anyway, the police sees that they're starting to overstep bounds. The lifeguard crew is starting to overstep bounds. And because he's getting paid, the police chief just, you know, he's always on Leeds' side. And he actually fires Mitch from his position as lieutenant or whatever he is. And he puts Matt Brody in his place. So Matt Brody is the new leader, the new lifeguard leader at a point toward the end. I'm almost done with this story.
What a twist.
Yeah, what a twist. From here, there's a plot. Now, just scrap all that, Jeff.
Okay.
There's a moment where Matt Brody steals information from the police chief that allows him to know where Leeds is going to be bringing in her next shipment and like when to go there. And so he brings the crew back together and they're going to do this one last sting operation to try to expose this woman for like the drug lord that she is. And it's like on this yacht and they sneak in. Anyway, fast forward, Matt Brody gets captured and he's like in a cage that like is used for viewing sharks or whatever. And he gets pushed into the ocean.
Shark cage, that's what that's called.
Shark cage, I have the wrong image of this. Man, I really need to watch these things before. Maybe it was a fart, maybe it was a cage, who knows, but the important thing was he got pushed into the water, right? And then he's going down. This woman that he's attracted to, she comes down and she goes to save him and gives him the kiss of life. Only to find out that it's Dwayne Johnson.
Nice.
Yeah. No, it actually will give you a pretty good laugh. But anyway, from here, they start going back up to the surface. And, like, they're in big danger because, all of Leeds' goons are all over the place and they're surrounding everybody. But again, luckily, The Rock is The Rock. And there's this plot point where there are these urchins in the water. And like, if you get stung by them, you'll get a super boost of adrenaline before you die. And so he purposefully stings himself with one of these and basically turns into the Hulk to save the day. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a great watch. It really is. And at the end, like there are these fireworks and they basically explode Leeds to save the day and to stop this tyrant from taking over the rest of the beach, which I don't know if that was super warranted, but sure. So they blow everything up. And that's basically the end of my rant and this movie. They like... They're no longer like painted as the people that are just going against the police. They're heroes at the end of the day. Mitch gets reinstated and, you know, everything.
Oh, so Mitch lives.
Yeah. No, Mitch is fine.
Okay.
I forget why, but he's absolutely fine.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Right. And yeah, and that's basically this whole thing. So it follows just a whole string of crimes that go through, which I have written down. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have drug use, which, you know, hopefully in the future that'll be decriminalized. But anyway.
Definitely.
Bribery, destruction of property. So she burns the yacht. Murder of the councilman, attempted murder of Matt Brody, falsifying records, destruction of evidence, theft of evidence. I have this. I don't know if this is actually a crime, but plans to privatize the beach. So, like, set up a monopoly. Is that a crime? I think it is. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Drug smuggling. And at the end, they blow up. like they explode the bad guy. Like, and I don't even think it was absolutely warranted. Like, I haven't gone back to watch it, but like, do you write the blow up the person?
I mean, it's weird. I don't know. I mean, maybe arrest wasn't possible. Did you list bribery in that list of crimes?
Yeah, it's up at the top.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe they didn't think there was a way to have her legally arrested if the police, if she had all the police in her pocket so well. I don't know. I don't know that ever in real life you should aim to blow somebody up with fireworks, just generally speaking.
Also, I'm not, actually, this is the episode I'm like least sure of, because I did a quick summary search and I'm looking at these notes. So it's like secondhand, third-hand stuff. I hope it's accurate. Going back over this stuff, I know I went over that stuff quickly and I didn't give you guys a lot of time to participate, but, and maybe your eyes glazed over, but the main points are, you have the Olympic swimmer coming in, joining this group that is like super serious about saving people on the beach. That causes tension. And then they start following a string of crimes that finally lead them to the source of everything. This woman that's trying to privatize everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about in general terms like that, do you guys have any comments?
It's weird that they chose to take this on themselves, like, as opposed to just going to like the next county over. Getting a detective or like calling the FBI.
Right. Like, that's not an option to like find a precinct that isn't corrupt.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So you guys think that they should not have taken things into their own hands?
It was a weird first move.
I mean, it obviously turned out. Yeah.
I feel like if this wasn't a movie about lifeguards, it wouldn't have worked out so well.
No, yeah. Thinking like a real life situation. What should
I don't
have
think
done?
I don't think lifeguards are in any way qualified to do any of this. So
right,
I think they got lucky at the end of the day.
I'd be contacting the FBI, like any police who would listen.
That's one of the main points of this whole movie. Like, the police. And, like, I think there's an officer that's not corrupt somewhere. But anyway, everyone's like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, you're lifeguards. I think they even say that at some point. You're lifeguards. Be lifeguards. Stop it.
Yeah, almost like, stop trying to take, I don't know, like you said, take matters into your own hands and just do your job and go home and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Not knowing the result, right? I want to look at it from two different perspectives. So, not knowing the result that everything works out, just like having a hunch that something is amiss, do you think it is their civil duty to try to prove that something is wrong? Like, I know you guys said just be lifeguards. But like, if you know that there's something there and you know there's evidence, shouldn't you go check that out? Or should you just report it?
I mean, if they already knew that the, like, police department was corrupt, I think they're completely justified in taking it into their own hands and investigating it on their own. But if they didn't know that, then I don't know why they wouldn't just report it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I was going to say, yeah, like an obvious one that I forgot to put on this list, breaking and entering. Like, they break into a morgue, like they break into this hospital and like they get into areas that they're not supposed to be in. They kind of tamper with evidence as well. So, oh, vigilantism, I guess, in a sense.
Are you saying that's a crime?
Yeah. Being a vigilante is a crime.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't
what
know.
What about Batman?
It's against the law. Don't like they try to arrest him constantly.
That's a good point. They do that.
It's absolutely a crime.
I'm looking it up.
I mean, it's hard to, again, like it's a lifeguard movie and I get that, but in real life, surely they would have done more damage trying to be vigilantes.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. And this, like everything's hunky-dory, like things are cool. But yeah, and that's where, yeah, the movie story, like it being a movie, like really takes hold and you really see that. God, there's so many goofy moments in this movie. Like I didn't even go over some. I'll mention one and then I'll mention my favorite part. So in the beginning of the movie, before they do the whole lifeguard tryouts, one of the guys, and he's kind of like this chubby, nerdy guy. He's laying face down on like a wooden chair. And also, so this next thing I'm going to say is not PG at all. So he's looking up at the other lifeguard that he has a crush on, and he gets a boner and it goes through the chair and like he gets stuck and everybody makes like a huge deal about it. Like Mitch comes over and was like, oh, hey buddy, looks like you're kind of stuck there. And they have to like pry him out of the chair with everybody watching.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there are lots of moments like that. Lots.
Why not, right? It's a Baywatch movie.
No, yeah, like it's. I think it's like supposed to be a movie about hot people doing something.
Yeah,
like that's what it is.
Like most Zac Efron movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess really, I just saw this. I remember watching it at home. Like actually, not even really watching. It was like on in the background, and I remembered some of the big moments. I thought this was going to be an okay one, but again, you can also just cut this part. But now I'm realizing these are so much more fun if you either have a good story or somebody else in the group has seen it. It's really hard.
Yeah, it's hard when no one's seen it. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I
definitely.
I struggled with that a couple times. Because then it's just you, you know.
Either way, though, so thanks for a little bit of input from...
Yeah, this is fun. I liked this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and like, go check it out. It's a dumb movie. It's right up my alley.
Yeah, right.
If you guys are into dumb movies, go check it out. My favorite topic. Oh, real quick, before we finish, my favorite part of the movie. In Mitch's house, he has like a little figurine of himself in like an aquarium, and throughout the movie like it changes, so like it's a little version of the Rock, and this is where Zac Efron sleeps, by the way, and it's like always watching him, but it like changes. Like one point it's in like a little scuba outfit, another time it has like it switches to binoculars and it's just like looking at him.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's a good bit. My favorite.
That's a good bit.
But that's really all I have. Does anybody else have any comments?
I feel like I thought the tone of this movie was one thing, and then about halfway through, it radically changed.
Yeah.
Well, like, it really seemed like a hardcore action thing for a while.
Yeah.
And then it kind of reverted back to, like, a dumb comedy.
Yeah, goofy.
Yeah, this isn't like, what are those movies? Like, the Ocean's movies? and High Strain. It's nothing like that.
I just thought of like three more movies.
That's good. Be able to keep the show alive.
I have a question real quick.
Yeah.
Does anyone have Red Dead 2 on their list?
No.
Okay, cool.
I never played it.
Sweet.
And there's, yeah, I don't even know where I would start with that.
I know, it's a lot. All right, thank you, Trevor, for telling us about Baywatch today. If you guys liked this episode of Crime Pop, please rate and subscribe and download each and every episode on Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts. We really appreciate all the love and support we've been getting on Twitter recently. If there's an episode that you absolutely love, please tweet and retweet it for us. Tell us why you liked it. We really like hearing that feedback, and we really appreciate everyone listening to us. I'm Sydney, and I'm here with Trevor and Jeff, and we'll see you in the next one.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.